Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service again this week. And we'd like to always remind you that we have a Zoom fellowship right after this, which you get a chance to interact with your Unity family, have discussion about the lesson or other things that may be going on, you know, in the world that you want to talk about. But it's a good time for just having a sense of community. So if you're looking for more than just watching it on YouTube and you would like to have some community, please join us in the Zoom service, and you can find that in the link to your e-newsletter and your weekly update. And also, if you find this service to be inspiring and uplifting, we appreciate your donations to Unity Center of Light so we can continue what we're doing here. If you would like to donate and don't know how, if you click on the Show More button, if you're watching this on YouTube, right below and click on Show More, you'll see the many ways that you can donate to Unity Center of Light. And we really appreciate all of your donations. And right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Well, good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, June 26th. The key word is kindness, and the affirmation is, I am love in action, sharing acts of kindness. It is my nature to be kind. Divine love is inherent within me, part of my spiritual identity. Opportunities abound to be kind, and I hold that intention today. Ideas will fill my mind, perhaps as a nudge to call a neighbor, send a note, extend a smile, or give a compliment. Practicing kindness includes sharing my gifts and talents in ways that allow me to express my individuality by giving of myself. Focusing on kindness, I am patient in all my dealings and resist easy judgment and prejudices. I am keenly aware that challenging situations can frustrate me, but I also welcome them as occasions to call upon my higher self as a loving and peaceful being. The more I practice kindness, the more easily it becomes the song of my heart and my way of life. And the scripture is taken from Zechariah 7:9, and it reads, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today, I don't know if you saw the title ahead of time before joining us today, but the title is, Am I Divine? No, really, Am I Divine? Okay. So this title, the lesson was born out of a discussion we had in this week's staff meeting. And, you know, we always have these discussions trying to figure out what we're going to talk about next. They helped me to bring that together. And the discussion turned out to be a personal insight into what do we really believe about ourselves in terms of our divine nature. And that's what we're going to look at today. You know, do we really believe that we are divine? You know, do I really believe that I am divine? And ask yourself, do you really believe that you are divine? And the difference is between just believing and actually having lived in a way that you have come to know this about yourself, okay? So the question to ponder is, what do we really believe about ourselves right now? And again, you can always turn that to yourself. What do I really believe about myself right now? And I think at some level, and at certain times and situations in our lives, we're able to at least entertain the idea that we are divine and that we have a divine connection to the allness that God is. But what are the majority of the mental images in the forefront of our minds? And I always like to use our to include everybody, but what are the majority of mental images in the forefront of your mind? Are the mental images we see of ourselves in our lives divine? Or are the mental pictures in the forefront of our minds a collection of the things of life that have us mentally, physically, and emotionally entangled in our life experiences? And remember, this investigation of self, this observation of self, I always like to say this, is never about condemnation. It's always about continuous self-observation for the express purpose of evaluating where you are on your spiritual journey, okay? So self-awareness is the purpose behind all spiritual or religious activity. It's about developing a holistic perspective. It's about developing a holistic perspective that includes what is your physical perspective, your mental perspective, your emotional perspective, okay, and what is your spiritual perspective, all working together towards the same goal of being able to give yourself a definitive answer to the question, am I divine? Okay. So I think we all have some understanding of our physical, mental, emotional perspectives, you know, and could speak about them if asked. Somebody asks you, well, what's your physical perspective, your mental, emotional, you know, could probably speak to those. But what about our spiritual perspective? What would you say if someone asked you to explain your spiritual perspective? So, you know, I went on a search on the internet trying to, you know, get some answers to that. And this is one thing that I found. It says spirituality is a broad concept with room for many perspectives. In general, includes a sense of connection to something bigger than ourselves. And it typically involves a search for meaning in life. As such, it is a universal human experience, something that touches all of us. Okay, so at some level, I mean, I'm willing to bet all of us are trying to get what is the meaning of my life. Okay, and the search for the meaning of my life is a big driving force for me. And it's possible that for all of us, this search is a constant struggle between fantasy and reality. Fantasy being the activity of imaging, you're imagining things coming into and out of your life according to your wants and needs. And so we're always, I'm calling that fantasizing, but it's this imaging. We're using our imagination, or we could say our power of imagination, say, this is what I want in my life, this is what I don't want in my life. But it almost seems like a fantasy. We fantasize or we image many things in our lives. And it's like the tradition of making a wish before you blow out the candles on your cake, okay? For some of us, that may be too many candles to blow out. But anyway, it's sort of like, you know, make a wish and blow out the candles on your cake. And we're constantly making wishes based on what we are imagining. And that's not to say it's a bad thing, but what is the reality that exists beyond fantasy? Okay, in other words, what is the truth about our life really? Okay, so this is what I say I want and or I don't want, but what exists beyond that fantasy, that imagining that we do? So one of the main reasons why the spiritual process may seem so slow is because we are trying to use our common everyday thought process to think our way through the spiritual process. But it is possible that the spiritual process doesn't call for us to think about it. And let me say that again, okay, because this is where it might get a little antsy or different. It's possible that spiritual process doesn't call for us to think about it, but rather it may require that we do not think and just be still and listen so that we can experience the presence of God. Now, God being the realm of ideas, the realm of divine inspiration, okay? So instead of us using our limited capacity, we are and trying to think our way through life, this is more about being still and listening to that divine inspiration, tapping into the infinite possibilities that are possible for us, okay? So if you ever found yourself in a situation that was demanding that you say something or do something, and we've all had this, you know, you need to act right now. You need to say something or do something. And you either thought to yourself or you actually said, I need time to think. okay? I wish we in person you could raise your hand and say, yeah, I've had that. I need time to think, okay? Well, what if what was actually needed was time to not think and just listen for divine guidance and divine inspiration? Now, Shirley Chisholm, you know, because we always have this chatter going on in our mind. We say, well, I need time to think. But then there's this, you know, all this rhetoric going on in our head, okay? Well, Shirley Chisholm made the statement. She said, rhetoric never won a revolution yet, okay? So likewise, in our efforts to change the power struggle within us, it is possible we cannot be accompanied by constant chatter. So we're trying to change this power struggle. You know, this thing in our mind that's, you know, this has us thinking about what we want in life and what we don't want, and we're going through this whole thing. It may be possible that it cannot be accomplished by constant mental chatter. That if we want to straighten out or clear or bring peace into our thinking, we need just not think and just be still and listen. You know, just contemplate the idea that the key to discovering your own indwelling divine self is to learn how to keep your thoughts to a minimum so you could listen more deeply. Now, remember when we're talking about this spiritual stuff, it's typically outside of the realm of how we normally think. So we just need to be with it as we are processing what we're hearing now, okay? So again, just contemplate the idea that to discover your own indwelling divine self, it comes from learning how to keep our inner thoughts to a minimum so we can listen more deeply. The thoughts we're talking about are, you know, quieting our inner constant interpretation of what is happening in the world. Thoughts that fluctuate from love of life in one moment to fear of life in the next. And helped explain this idea of keeping our thoughts to a minimum so we can hear the inner guidance of spirit leading us to our own divine nature. Listen to this passage from Matthew 5:33. It says, again you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not swear falsely. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven or by the earth, and do not swear by your head. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Okay. Now, yes and no are the basic tools of unity teachings. They are the tools of affirmation and denial. And the purpose being to cultivate our consciousness in a way that prepares us to receive the truth about ourselves. Okay, and how to use that truth that we receive to manage what's occurring in our lives. So the word swear in this scripture means to make a solemn declaration. And this passage begins by explaining that the old belief is that you should not swear that you're going to do something, especially if you're not actually committed to doing it. Okay. But Jesus, so that's sort of understandable. We can understand that. So Jesus is taking it to the next level. He's explaining that you should not swear at all, not even to make some solemn oath to God expressing that you what you will or will not do. And this is what is meant by do not swear to heaven. Nor, he said, should you swear to make a solemn oath with yourself or anyone else, which is what is meant by do not swear to earth. And the scripture explains, do not swear by your head, meaning do not use your intellect to make a solemn vow. Now, how many of us can think of vows we have made? You know, you say, well, why shouldn't I make a solemn vow? Well, how many of us can think of vows that we made, you know, to God, to our church, to our spouse, to our children, to our friends, to our coworkers, to ourselves? Vows that we have sworn to but broken. See, these are vows that are often made with our intellect combined with our emotional intent, meaning when we make them, we feel like we're going to do them, but then the emotions quiet down and the commitment and the impetus behind it kind of goes away. And quite often these vows are made without prayer or spiritual contemplation or spiritual guidance. So if you feel that spiritual, that intuitive spiritual inspiration to make this vow, so to speak, that's one thing. Okay, but if it's just coming from your intellect and your emotions, that's a whole nother thing. Okay. And some of the common everyday vows we make, you know, like, gosh, I'll never eat that much again or drink that much again. Or the famous ones, you know, starting tomorrow, I'm going on a diet. I'm going back to the gym. I'm getting back on track. You know, we make them, I say those, but those are, examples of how we make these vows of what we're going to do. But do we follow up on them? So there are so many times we swear we're going to do what we say we're going to do, but we never get to it or stick to it. And we really don't think much about it. Okay. So this is what Jesus is referring to when he said, do not swear with your head, making promises to change in some way, but with no real heartfelt commitment behind it. Instead, he teaches us that we must learn to quiet our minds, make no monumental promises, okay, and just be clear about what we want to, just be clear about what you want to accomplish, and then become quiet. So it's not that you don't ever say, this is what I want or don't want, you would say, ask, okay, and it will be given. So it's not saying that. It said, just be clear about what, it is that you want to accomplish, and then become quiet. And listen for the inner guidance as to how to go about it. Because the inner guidance may give you a whole different thought process. You thought you wanted to do this or go that way, but the inner guidance lets you know the path that you really, that would really work out for you. So this practice is how you come to learn the answer to the question, am I divine? Okay. The answer is in the daily practice of simply saying yes or no. Affirmations. Or denial, and or denial. Yes means you are affirming that you are aware of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit being present in your life, your body, your mind, your affairs. Okay, you're saying yes. You know, I'm aware of the Holy Spirit. You know, I feel the Holy Spirit guiding me through this process of life that I'm going through. And as Paul expressed it so perfectly in Romans 12:2, you know it. Okay, you know this verse. It says, do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're working on. All right? And then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will for your life. God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? So affirmations, test, and approve God's will in your life and affairs. Affirmations test and approve God's will in your life and affairs. So when you need to accomplish something that seems to be eluding you, just prevail enough, prevail upon the divine presence within you to inspire and guide you to accomplish what you need to accomplish. Okay? Simply say yes to God's inspiration. This is the key. Even before you receive it. And know to that aspect of yourself that either doesn't believe or doesn't always follow through. That part of yourself that doesn't believe or doesn't follow through, you say no to that, okay? Because you're saying, you're denying that part of you that procrastinates or can't, doesn't have the faith to believe that this thing can happen in your life. And you're saying yes to God's inspiration, God's the guiding light, okay? And Jesus said that thinking anything else other than a simple yes or no comes from evil. Evil being our ego's need for useless dialogue and mental chatter. So think about the thoughts that flow through your mind that hinder you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish in your life. Think about them, okay? Thoughts that seem to have a mind of their own. You want to do this, but these other thoughts keep popping up in your mind. This is, you can't do that. You can't accomplish that. And you say, I want to accomplish this, but then up pops thoughts that present you with reasons and emotions as to why you cannot. Okay? Even if it has to do with healing or prosperity or job or whatever it is, relationships, you're going to get these things that pop up in you. You know, this is useless dialogue is what Jesus is calling evil. These are the thoughts, to be fair to us, these are the thoughts that come from years of fear-filled experiences we have stored up within us. So when you say to yourself, why is this coming up in me? These are thoughts that were in you already from experiences you had before, and they're popping up at these times when you don't really, I was going to say don't want them to pop up, but you do want them to pop up, because then you know they're there, and you can use denials to help, you know, calm them down. So again, these are thoughts we are to deny from having any power over us. They're going to come up, but don't give them power. Again, not easy to do, but with prayerful practice, it eventually becomes possible. Pam told me to make sure I say that. When I say it doesn't seem like it happened, can happen. But again, with prayerful practice, it eventually becomes possible. So I realize this is an extremely difficult concept for us to wrap our minds around, because it is saying, do not use your mind to do anything other than affirm the presence of God and deny the presence of anything that is not of God. Okay, that's the ego. Your ego mind wants nothing to do with that. You know, that line of thinking, and because it has a myriad of rationalizations and justifications as to why it is necessary for us to mentally massage every detail of our lives. And I'm sure we all, you know, have all experienced the axiom, you know, we know about let go and let God. And we've all had this experience that this is a whole lot more complicated than it sounds. We probably say that every week, let go and let God. But with practice, we know this whole thing we've talked about before, of letting go and letting God, is way more complicated than it sounds. However, I believe that every one of us could share stories. Now listen to this. Every one of us could share stories of how in moments of mindlessness, points in time when we were momentarily disengaged from the normal chatter in our mind, and we received our most profound thoughts. These are moments of divine inspiration, divine ideas from God that can only be heard when our mind is quiet. Okay? These are the moments that answer our question, am I divine? And this is the reason why we're exploring this idea of reducing the idle chatter in our minds to a minimum. It is to learn how to purposely use our mind for divine communication instead of the constant mental chatter our ego loves to engage in. So learning to simply say yes to God, to divine inspiration, and no to that which is not of God, you know, our fearful emotional evaluation about what is happening in our life, this is what will make us more joyful as well as much more prosperous and productive in our lives. The question is, how do we evolve to a place in consciousness where our frivolous, fearful thoughts decrease and our inspiring spiritual thoughts increase? Well, I assume that many of you have been on a fast. Let's use that as an example. I bet you many of you listening have been on a fast. A time when you take in nothing but the fresh fruit of, say, organic vegetables and fruits. Or maybe you did the Master Cleanser Fast where you drink a mixture of fresh lemon juice, crude maple syrup, and water. I know Pam's brother and his wife are going through a 10-day fast on that Master Cleanser. But regardless of which method you use, fasting is a time when you eliminate everything you normally put into your body except water and the life-giving elements found in the juice of fresh fruits and vegetables, which is often referred to as living water, okay? So it's a time when you affirm life through the living water you consume and refrain from consuming what you would normally eat. What is amazing about the fasting process is how you progress from struggling to let go of what you normally consume to moving to a peaceful place of enjoying the simple experience of only taking in life, the living water. And if done in the right frame of mind, you usually reach a point where your cravings subside and you just become at peace. Okay. So the practice of fasting from food to break the chains of slavery our bodies have to unhealthy foods is the same as fasting from negative thinking, negative fearful thinking, or prideful thinking to break the chains of slavery our minds have to unhealthy thinking. Okay. So many physical illnesses, not all, but many physical illnesses can be healed or prevented by a regular regimen of periodic fasting, just allowing the body to rest. Likewise, many mental, emotional challenges we experience can be healed or prevented by a regular regimen of fasting from negative thinking, allowing the mind to just rest. So mental periods of fasting are usually called prayer meditation. We know about that, okay? Or what the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh calls a practice of mindfulness. But what is interesting about fasting from food periodically is that each fast leaves you craving less and less of the foods that do harm to your body, okay? Eventually, over time, bringing you to a stage where you are only consuming the simplest and most nutritious foods while eliminating all others. Likewise, fasting from negative thinking through prayer and meditation and spiritual contemplation eventually over time brings you to a point where you are only thinking the simplest, most profoundly inspiring, spiritually guided thoughts. Jesus said, you want to reach a point where you're simply thinking yes to affirm the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, being mindful of the fact that this is the realm of divine ideas, the source of spiritual guidance and spiritual inspiration, and saying no to deny from entering into your mind any thoughts which are not of God. Simply any thoughts which are not of love and faith and wisdom and peace and joy. And again, these periods of mental fasting are called prayer and meditation. So with God as a pilot of your mind instead of your ego, you're guided in ways that cause you to have an even greater level of success in what you're striving to accomplish and less stress and strain on your part, okay? So stress and strain are a good indication that your mind is thinking too much on its own without calling on your indwelling Christ. And remember, instead of trying to think what to do, you want to remain available to be thought through and divinely guided. And contrary to popular belief, God doesn't need your help, right? God doesn't need our help, you know, to go through this process. Why? Because the Father knows what you want and need even before you know what you want and need. God only needs our willingness, our receptivity, and the availability of our non-resistant mind. So just think about this. The more you are identified with the struggle going on in your mind, the more the ego runs your life. The more you identify with the struggle going on in your mind, the more the ego runs your life. The more you are identified with the divine inspiration of God mind, the more God guides your life. The question to ask yourself is, which do you want? Which do you prefer? Okay, your ego mind or God mind, you know, guiding your life? Well, as we read in Joshua 24:15, and I'm paraphrasing, I know that one of our congregation members, Jo, said she likes this verse, Joshua 24:15, it says, and I'm paraphrasing in cases, you do what you want, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Okay. So this coming week before, start to become more aware of what you're constantly thinking about, okay? Become an observer of the thought activity in your mind. Meditate on the truth about yourself, which is, I am divine. And here's a trick. And then just be still and listen for the still small voice within you declare back to you, yes, you are right. You are divine. And so it is. Amen. So now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So I invite you to relax, Unity family, and take a deep breath in and pause as you allow Spirit to restore your natural balance. Taking a few minutes from your day for meditation clears your mind and relaxes your body. Tuning into your higher self, the divine within, shines a light on the next right steps on your path. Slowly and deeply, breathe in and out. Allow your thoughts to clear and your body to relax. Place your attention on your heart and repeat this affirmation silently to yourself. Be still and know. Be still and know. Allow this love to well up in your heart. Feel love traveling from your heart throughout your entire body. Let it travel down your torso through your legs into your ankles, feet, and toes. Breathe into that love now and feel love traveling throughout your heart, your chest, your shoulders, arms, hands, and fingers. Feel it move up your neck to your jaw, face, and head. Breathe into that love. Now scan your body as you continue to affirm, be still and know, be still and know. Feel the energy of divine love that fills your entire being. You are meant to be a presence of love in this world for yourself and others. Think of one other person who you would like to send love to. As you think of them, imagine the love that fills your being, radiating to them and filling them with divine love. Bless them with the same affirmation, be still and know, be still and know. In the silence of your heart, go before the altar and lay your problems before the Lord of your being. The altar is that place in consciousness where you are willing to let go of the lesser for the greater, to let go of personality and enter into your spiritual identity. While in this closet of prayer, fix your mind on a certain idea until the idea becomes filled with light and etched in your heart. And now, without the sound of my voice, become totally present to the Holy Spirit within. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've heard our prayers this morning and you've answered them as you always do. And now, Unity Family, as you return to your surroundings, keep your heart open to the love within as it blesses you and all those around you. Remember that you are a blessing of love to yourself and others. So in the name and nature of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus the Christ, we give thanks and we say Amen. And so it is, and forever shall be. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings.
Thank you, Hannah. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our our your spiritual home. And, you know, we give thanks to all of the wonderful offerings and blessings that are sent here to support Unity Center of Light. And again, if you didn't catch it right in the beginning, if you say to yourself, well, how do I support Unity Center of Light? If you click on the Show More button right below, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see where you can, all the many ways that you can donate. And we are very thankful for all your donations. And so we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue thy healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right, and you have light notes?
Yes. So on July 10th of this year, we will have our first in-person and hybrid service. This is an experiment to get an idea of how many folks are interested in being in person. After this service on the 10th, our hybrid service will be the first Sunday of each month, and all other Sundays we will be on Zoom. You will have the opportunity to be in person, or if not able, you can join us on Zoom. The next Women of Unity get-together is on Saturday, July 30th, and we'll be meeting at the home of Joyce Phillip in Crofton, Maryland. The theme is, Where Am I From? Masks required when entering her home and then removed while eating. The time is 2:30 p.m. This will be a potluck, so I ask that you please email me to let me know if you will attend and what you will be bringing. My email is P as in Paul, A, M as in Mary, OSBY at MSN.com. The next book that the book club will be reading is called Dying to Be Me by Anita Morjani. She says, I had the choice to come back or not. I chose to return when I realized that heaven is a state, not a place. This is a memoir of a near-death experience and the overcoming of the seemingly impossible. Discussion will take place on September the 11th at 1 p.m. We invite you to join us for our first trip back to Capron Springs since COVID. We arranged this trip with you in mind. You asked for it, and we're making it possible. There are 2 months left before the due date for all payments. Please see the fillable registration form in your updates and e-newsletter. We're excited about you joining us. Thank you. Oh, a reminder to everyone who wrote their letters to God on New Year's Eve. It's time to recover them and see where you are in your journey.
All right. Yeah, those letters are kind of what we're talking about this morning. This is what I said I was going to do. Okay, so, well, now it's time to...
Bless the path that we will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together. Right. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. Let's go right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope to see you in Zoom right after this. And if we don't see you there, we wish you a very happy and wonderful, blessed week. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.